Picture this. It is 1942 on the Eastern Front. German soldiers have been dug into forward positions for months. The autumn mud has turned to ice. The nights are long and black and cold in a way that people who have never spent a winter in southern Russia cannot quite imagine. It is 2 in the morning, maybe 3, and somewhere above the darkness, just barely audible above the wind, a soldier hears something, a soft sound, almost like cloth tearing, like a broomstick sweeping through the air. No engine, no drone, just that soft whooshing sound getting louder, and then the world explodes, and then it is quiet again. And in that quiet, while the smoke is still rising and the men are still pulling themselves off the ground, they know with a cold certainty that it will come back. It always comes back. The Germans call them Nachthexen, the night witches. I'm Tail Dragger. This is Radio Hangar, and this is The Hangar. Pull up a chair, because tonight we are talking about one of the most remarkable combat aviation units that ever went to war. A regiment of Soviet women who climbed into open cockpit biplanes, canvas and wood and wire, flew night after night into defended enemy territory, and conducted more than 23,000 combat sorties against the Wehrmacht over 3 years of the most brutal land war in human history. Today's show is brought to you by AviationSoul.com. Aviation challenge coins for every milestone in flight. First solo, private pilot, instrument rating, all the way up. If you've earned it, they've got a coin for it. Every coin tells a story. Check them out at AviationSoul.com. Now, to understand the Night Witches, you have to understand the airplane they flew, because the airplane is really the heart of the whole story. The Polikarpov Po-2? If that name means nothing to you, picture this. It is 1927 in the Soviet Union. A designer named Nikolai Polikarpov is tasked with building a simple, rugged, easy-to-fly trainer for the Soviet air training program. What he produces is a 2-seat biplane. Open cockpits, tandem seating, a radial engine up front putting out about 100 horsepower, fabric over a welded steel tube fuselage, plywood wings. It is honest, forgiving, and slow. Top speed is somewhere around 90 miles per hour, and that is pushing it. The stall speed is maybe 45 to 50 knots, which means the entire flyable speed range of the Po-2 fits inside a window you could nearly walk through. The Soviet Union built the Po-2 for decades. It was used to train pilots, it was used as an agricultural aircraft, it was used for aerial survey work. In the 1940s, before the war, Soviet student pilots learned to fly in the Po-2 the same way American students were learning in the Stearman biplane. It was a Sunday afternoon airplane, a grass strip airplane, an airplane that flight instructors took naps in the backseat of while their students practiced stalls. Nobody designed the Po-2 to go to war. And yet that is exactly what happened. When Germany invaded the Soviet Union in June of 1941, the scale of the military disaster was staggering. The Red Army was losing hundreds of aircraft per day. Entire armies were being encircled and destroyed. Stalin was demanding every available resource be thrown at the front, and the front was moving east at a terrifying pace. Into this moment stepped Marina Raskova.
If you do not know that name, you should. Before the war, Marina Raskova was one of the most famous people in the Soviet Union. She was a navigator, and she was extraordinary at it. In 1938, she was part of a crew that flew a long-range record attempt from Moscow to the Soviet Far East. The aircraft, the Rodina, ran low on fuel over Siberia, and Raskova, who was riding in the nose, was ordered to bail out so that the aircraft lightened, could make a safe landing. She came down in a Siberian forest and survived alone for 10 days before she was found. The rest of the crew landed safely. All three women were awarded the Hero of the Soviet Union Medal, the highest military honor in the country. Raskova became a celebrity. When the war started, Raskova's mailbox filled with letters from women who wanted to fight. Hundreds of letters, women who were pilots, navigators, mechanics, who had trained in the Soviet Aero Club system and had flight time and skills and wanted to use them. Raskova took those letters to Stalin personally. She made the case directly. And in October of 1941, Stalin signed the order. 3 all-women aviation regiments would be formed. 1 for fighters, 1 for day bombers, 1 for night bombers, the Night Bomber Regiment. The 588th 8th Night Bomber Aviation Regiment would fly the Po-2. The women who arrived at the training base in Engels on the Volga River that fall came from all over the country. Some had already been flying for years in the Aero Club system. Some had been to aviation institutes. Some were barely out of school. They were mechanics and navigators and pilots mixed together, and they had roughly 6 months to train up before they were sent to the front.
The training was harsh. The winter of 1941 to 42 was brutally cold, even by Russian standards. They trained on the aircraft they would fight in, the Po-2, and they trained at night, which meant learning to navigate by stars and terrain, and dead reckoning in an open cockpit in temperatures that went well below zero. There was no instrument landing system, no radio navigation, no GPS, no autopilot. There was a compass, an altimeter, an airspeed indicator, and whatever you could see out of the cockpit, which at night over a blacked-out wartime landscape was not much. They modified the aircraft. The PO2 was never designed to carry bombs, so the armament crews figured out bomb racks that could be hung from the lower wings. Maximum load was about 300 to 350 pounds. That is not a lot. For comparison, a single American 250-pound bomb is, as the name suggests, 250 pounds. These aircraft were dropping smaller ordnance, and they were doing it accurately, often from altitudes of a few hundred feet. What they developed in terms of tactics was genuinely creative. They flew in pairs, always two aircraft working together. The first aircraft, the decoy, would approach the target at altitude. The German searchlights would find it and lock on. The anti-aircraft guns would start firing. Everyone's attention would be on the first PO2. Meanwhile, the second aircraft, coming in behind and slightly offset, would throttle back, cut the engine entirely, and glide. In a PO2 with the engine off, the only sound was that soft rush of air through the wing bracing. That was the whoosh the German soldiers heard in the darkness. By the time they heard it, the bombs were already gone. The second aircraft would drop, bank away into the dark, restart the engine, and clear the area. Then the two would switch roles. A German soldier on the ground, lying in a trench, listening for aircraft engines, had almost no warning. The aircraft came in silence, dropped, and vanished. And then an hour later, or sometimes less, it came again. The regiment flew multiple sorties per night. Not one, not two. On a good night, in good weather, with the aircraft in shape, a single crew might fly 8 to 12 sorties before dawn. Some crews logged 18 sorties in a single night, 18 takeoffs, 18 approaches, 18 bomb runs in one night in an open cockpit biplane. The crews wore everything they had, flight suits, wool sweaters, leather helmets, goggles. The goggles would freeze at altitude, the oil from the engine would blow back onto the windscreen and onto the crew's faces. The exhaust stacks on the PO2 would glow red hot in the cold air, and the pilot could use them as a dim reference for where the nose was pointed. Frostbite was common. The women treated it themselves, if they could, and flew again the next night. The German night fighters sent to intercept them ran into a problem nobody anticipated. The PO2 flew slower than the stall speed of a Messerschmitt Bf 109. A German night fighter pilot who tried to slow down enough to get a clean gun solution on a PO2 would fall out of the sky before he could line up the shot. The PO2 was too slow, too low, and too maneuverable in the dark for conventional fighter interception tactics. German pilots eventually adapted, coming in from angles that gave them more relative speed, but even then the PO2 was difficult to kill. It was a small fabric aircraft, at low altitude in the dark. It did not show up well on any detection equipment the Germans had. If the Germans did manage to set a PO2 on fire, which happened, the fabric burned fast. There are accounts of crews being killed that way. Later in the war, when the German searchlights got more numerous and the anti-aircraft defenses thickened, the regiment started taking heavier losses, but they kept flying. Now here's where it gets interesting. The name Night Witches was given to them by the Germans, and the Germans did not mean it as a compliment. To the Wehrmacht, the night bombers were supernatural, untouchable, relentless. The name spread through the German lines as shorthand for something that could not be stopped. German soldiers were reportedly told that Soviet women were given special injections that gave them the ability to see in the dark like cats. That was how they explained the accuracy of the bombing. They could not accept a simpler explanation, which was that these women were extraordinarily good at their jobs. Nadezhda Popova was one of the regiment's most celebrated pilots. She flew 852 combat sorties over the course of the war. She was shot down multiple times, survived, went back to flying. She said once that the Germans were terrified of the Night Witches and that she was very proud of that. She was awarded the Hero of the Soviet Union Medal in 1945. She lived to be 91 years old, and she talked about those missions until the end of her life, still precise about the altitudes and headings and the sound of the PO2 in the dark. Yekaterina Ryabova flew 840 missions. On one legendary night, she and Popova together logged 18 sorties each, which means both of them took off and landed 18 times before the sun came up. At some point, those numbers stop being statistics and start being something else. The regimental commander for much of the war was Yevdokia Bershanskaya, who led the regiment from early 1942 until the end of the war. She was the only woman in the Soviet military to command a regiment throughout the entire war. The regiment flew under her command across the Caucasus, through Ukraine, into Poland, and all the way to the final offensive operations in 1945. Marina Ruskova, who had made all of this possible, did not survive to see it. She was killed in January of 1943 while trying to land her PE-2 bomber in poor visibility during a ferry flight from the factory. She was 30 years old. The Soviet government gave her a state funeral with full military honors, one of the first such ceremonies held for a woman in Soviet history. Her ashes are in the Kremlin wall. The 588th Regiment was redesignated the 46th Guards Night Bomber Aviation Regiment in recognition of its combat record. The Guards designation was the highest unit honor the Soviet military gave, and it was not handed out casually, the 46th earned it. By the end of the war, the regiment had flown over 23,000 sorties. 23 of its pilots and navigators had been awarded the Hero of the Soviet Union Medal. 30 crew members had been killed in action. The regiment was formally disbanded in October of 1945, a few months after the German surrender. What happened to the women after the war was complicated. Some were celebrated openly. Others found that Soviet society in the post-war years was not entirely sure what to do with women who had spent 3 years in combat. The Cold War drew a curtain over a lot of the story. For decades, most people in the West knew very little about the Night Witches. It was not until the 1980s, and then more thoroughly after the Soviet Union fell, that the full picture came out. What I keep coming back to when I sit with this story is the airplane, the Po-2, 1927, designed to teach students to fly on grass fields, fabric over steel tube, 100 horsepower, 90 miles per hour with the wind behind you. These women took that airplane and used it to fly over defended enemy territory in the dark in the Russian winter, 8 to 18 times a night, for 3 years. They were not given better equipment. They made the equipment they had into something the enemy feared. The Po-2 outlived the Night Witches Regiment. It was built until 1953, with a total production run of somewhere around 40,000 aircraft. Some are still flying today, at air shows and in museums. When you see one, think about what it went to war carrying and who was flying it. Sources for tonight include Bruce Miles's Night Witches from 1981, Ann Noggle's A Dance with Death, interviews archived through the Russian State Military Museum, and reporting from Air and Space magazine. Find more at radiohanger.com. I'm Taildragger. Keep the shiny side up.